2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
See all your savings at UtahHondaDealers.com.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club with Jaren Hall, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. So, Jaren, I got to ask you a question, and this is just this your opinion. Alex and I were talking about this earlier in the day. So, Patrick Mahomes' mom, she's like, she doesn't think that interceptions that are tip passes should count against the quarterback.
That's a very so, mom thing,
right?
To think,
so,
right?
So yeah. My first question is, how do you feel about that? And where would your mom kind of fit in this spectrum? Would she agree, disagree, or how would your mom be?
Mm-hmm. She could go both ways. My mom has been around football long enough that I'd hope she'd understand the risk of throwing balls that could be tipped. But also, she's a good mother, so I'm sure she might back me up just like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, look, that's the thing is that it's part of the game.
It is.
A ball being tipped. Somebody's got to take the turnover.
Yeah, quarterbacks get far too much credit, when things go right.
See, Scott,
so I think it's okay.
That's you know what? That was a very well said thing for a quarterback to hear, because Scott was like, "Yeah, look, I'd have because you'd have how many career interceptions? You
at
have
least
in the
50% fewer
right, so you'd
interceptions.
Have a lot fewer. You'd have a lot. You'd have take.
Well, no one would get the interception. It wouldn't be credit. It'd just be credited as a turnover, but it wouldn't
right,
be
a team
to somebody.
Turnover.
Yeah, it's just a team turnover.
Right? Okay. Team.
You're not going to say, "Oh, it was team a wide turnover. Receiver or anything like that."
Yeah. Yeah, get a little subjective there. It's
right.
All good though.
Listen,
that's okay.
If it makes your stats look a little bit better, though, it's nice. So. Big news today, obviously. We were waiting to see what this was going to look like. But Nick Rolovich, the head coach for Washington State University, has been let go as the head coach for cause, too. This was not – I mean, the university said, hey, you had this time to be vaccinated. He refused the state mandate up there in the state of Washington. So he and a few of his assistants will also be out coaching this week at Washington State. This is your opponent this week. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't change anything for you,
right?
But when you look at this and you say, man, this is just I'm not asking you to comment on the politics of what had happened, but
it's unfortunate, man.
But for them to lose a coach and their coaching staff, imagine what that would do with you guys having lost a head coach in the middle of the week here.
No, we're just talking right here for a second during the break, same thing. It's just unfortunate for the players, man. I feel bad for those guys. That's tough enough, to lose a head coach, as USC did. You still got your assistants and you can kind of bounce back and still have a game plan, and play ball. But to lose four of your assistants, and I believe one was the offensive coordinator as well, that's tough, man. I mean, that puts a lot of stress on the players. But, I guess that could be seen as an opportunity for those players to kind of step up and work even harder to game plan and scheme up for this next week. So in the end of the day, it might be something cool for them, to kind of step in and take that role when they don't have their coaches there. But, it's sad, man. It stinks for the kids, honestly, to have something like that play into their season and their success. They've been playing so well the last couple of weeks. So it's unfortunate. It really is.
Yeah, I wonder how. I mean, if you lost all those coaches, like, how would you actually game? I mean,
yeah, because it's one thing to have an interim head coach,
right?
Yeah. I don't know if this. I mean, I guess
coordinators though.
The coordinators are everything.
How would they operate? Like, have you thought? How would you guys deal with that if you had to deal with that?
I'd imagine that you have captains on offense and defense. I'd imagine the offensive captains will probably come together if I don't know who all the people that were fired with that. You know how many offensive or defensive guys? But at least for offense, you know, if we had lost an OC, you go to the next coach and you'd probably sit down as captains with him. And spend more time game planning during the day would be my guess. I mean, maybe the other assistants could take the load on themselves and do it. But, you know, I'd want to have some say in to hear out what's going on because, you know, that communication between you and your offensive coordinator is important. So
yeah, it's almost like one of those things where you just like I could see where you could say it may be better because you just say we're just going to go vanilla. We're going to go with our basic plays, stuff we know, keep it simple, and just go play football. And who knows what that may – Because you know, I wanted to ask you, well, what is your take on Washington State? I mean, watching them, you know, and I guess you have some idea of where they are, but what is your first blush as you start your preparation?
I mean, they're hot right now. They've been playing really well. Defensively, they're a really good team. They have a lot of experience. They got some big DBs who play the ball well. You know, up front, they do a lot of stuff up front, a lot of twists, a lot of stunts. They're not the biggest up front that we've played all year, so they'll have a lot of movement and a lot of ways to try to beat us there. But overall, you know, 1 through 11, they're a tough team. They scrap. I mean, they're finishing every single play 100%. You know, it's something that's very impressive to watch in the tape already from what we saw today. So we've got to be ready with our game plan. We've got to be ready to play, you know, beginning to end of every snap because they definitely won't quit. And, you know, home field advantage of that stadium. You know, it's a lot of energy there, a lot of fans that love, you know, from that small town that love their football team and love supporting them. So it'll be good for us. Good test.
I was just thinking, too, about, you know, going up and how, you know, that it actually might work a little to their advantage in terms of, you know, that not knowing exactly how things are going to go because it's one thing to be able to write down, okay, here are their tendencies here.
Right.
But stuff is just going to have to change this week. And so – As you watch those things, as you guys have already studied some of the film, not just on their defense, but what does Wazoo do overall that's really, really good?
Yeah, so they have a lot of combinations of pressures. They sell out at times. They really trust that they can get pressure on the quarterback before you can find somebody open, and they've done a lot of job causing havoc. The last couple wins that they've had, especially the defense you can see has gotten better throughout the year. And then they do a good job in coverage behind. And so we'll just have to be dialed into protections. So we'll have to be dialed into, you know, our wide zone run game, our mid zone, and everything else that we've done every year. And then just on the outside, we'll have, you know, some matchups down the field and just continue to throw the ball and run the ball like we have. But, yeah, definitely be prepared for some pressures they've got and just other ways to try to cause havoc up front.
You had the nice long touchdown run this last week. Is that something that's just managed in a game-to-game situation? How much – do you run and how much do you not run and making, you know, kind of keeping yourself available for the next play, you know, and how does that work every week?
Yeah.
You're running the football.
Yeah, no, when I play, you know, it's never a thought in my mind that I got to keep myself safe and I've got to, you know, as a quarterback, naturally there's a tendency to say, okay, once I get in all I can, I got to get down, right? But for me, it's I don't try to conserve myself by any means every play, but when there's an opportunity to run, it's usually safe. You know, that's the way our offense is built in. It's usually stuff that we can get around to the edges, quarterbacks, get in the green grass behind a blocker and get down. So any chance I can get to use my legs, you know, it really opens up the offense, the playbook, because teams got to start respecting that. And so, you know, you saw the first couple of games, you know, we did it a lot. We used it a lot because the opportunities were there. In the last couple of games, there are fewer chances, but you know, any chance is open. I'm always ready and willing to, you know, to take off and use my legs because, you know, it opens up the playbook. But it just kind of, you know, it's based on certain times and certain looks. But there's a lot of opportunities throughout the game, I'll say.
Jaron, one of the things, too, you know, we were watching this game on Saturday and it happened with Boise State where getting down and playing from behind is a totally different animal than being up. And so – have you guys talked about that as a team, or have you thought to yourself, okay, like the idea that it changes the way you guys call plays and how you guys have to react then? Because if you're down double digits and you have to run different stuff to be able to get out, and how's that mindset change when you guys are playing from behind?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, depending on the deficit, obviously the playbook changes a lot. You know, if you're working against the clock, you know, you got to start throwing the ball because you can't allow, you know, to run the ball and run timeout per se. So, you know, any course of the game, depending on how much you're down, you know, and how much time is left, would definitely trim down the playbook a little bit. It might, you know, vanilla some things up and just push the ball down the field. But yeah, playing behind is definitely not, it's not ideal, right? But it's part of football. The last two games has happened. So we got to really, I think, focus on getting out quick and putting points on the board. You know, a couple times we settled for field goals early on, and I think we just got to be better. And again, executing on third down, especially in the red zone and in the low red, and getting, you know, a touchdown every time we can, because that really changes the course of the game for us and for our defense, and, you know, just the whole three aspects of the game.
So you talk about Baylor kind of coming out with a lot of energy, and you got in that stadium, a lot of crowd noise there.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're going to expect in Pullman. It could be, it couldn't be. You don't know. But how do you create your own energy on the road now that you've kind of had that tough road match? How do you create that energy to make sure you're getting off to a good start early?
Well, I mean, from the first snap, you just got to go make a play. I think you got to get positive yards from the beginning. And I think it's again, there's no perfect solution for how do you get energy. You know, we always ask ourselves in team meetings and other things, and morning games, away games, whatever that's different from your normal routine, how do you get energy? And I think it just comes down to making plays. You know, there's a lot of things you can say, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. But at the end of the day, if you don't step up and make a play, you know, you're not going to get any energy. So it's just one of those things about manhood, man. It's got to man up, go make a play, and just create that energy. I think that's how I look at it anyway.
Jaron, another week in the books on the Players Club. We appreciate you coming on the program. We appreciate what you do for the show. It's a lot of fun to do with you, and we wish you the best of luck this week. Stay healthy, and safe travels up to Wazoo, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Got some sound to play from Kalani Sitake as well to be able to break down a little bit of what Wazoo is and a little bit about what Baylor was. I think, a taste of what the Big 12 is going to be for BYU. And I'm excited. BYU fans are excited to think, man, to be able to get that kind of talent to come into your school because you're in the Big 12, that's going to be nice. In the meantime, man, figuring out how to deal with those big dudes, we'll see what happens. We'll come right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.